Okay, it's kind of a portal into the time that we have left, and also in recognition of the fact that today is Shavuos Uvetamuz, and the beginning of the 3 weeks. So I wanted to say a few words about the idea of Lifnim Meshur Sadin, about which there's a lot to say, but just to focus on a little bit of it specifically as it comes up within our Gemara, it's going to be very significant because we touched upon it a little bit last night and we talked about unions and related things, and the question of whether we recognize the right of workers to strike and the like. So among the various makoros, there's also a discussion of simply what is the proper attitude for a boss to have towards his employees beyond the Ikar Hadin. And the idea of Lifnim Meshur Hadin, the idea that there is a value that Halacha recognizes in being able to transcend the minimal requirements of the law. And what exactly does that mean in practical terms? It's a little bit of a mysterious idea. So, just to mention, the Gemara does tell us that in the context of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, in the context of the Chorban, the Gemara actually says in the seventh parak of Bava Metzia that Yerushalayim was destroyed al shehamidu divrehem al din Torah. The fact sounds like it's a good thing. You think that we're pro-din Torah. But apparently the notion that people were too insistent on the letter of the law, they were too insistent on their rights. So because of that, so there was a lot of fighting. There was a lot of hatred that basically developed between people because there was not a willingness to go with the Meshur HaSadin. So the Gemara seems to be identifying as one of the key remedies to the Gullus, the idea that we should be able to transcend these attitudes, to be able to go with the Meshur HaSadin. And as we saw last night, so that was a key element in understanding some of the obligations that we have towards each other and that we have towards our workers. So what I'd like to share with you, we only have a... Actually, my watch is not working. So we have a... What time is it? Okay, so we have a shorter time period now if we want to get the earlier mincha. But I'd like to share with you, first of all, just the idea that we find at the end of the sixth parak, leading into the seventh parak, that's relevant to this concept, and to discuss the halachal mice implications. I mentioned last night the Sefer Mishnah's poem. Today I've brought that in PDF form, and he has here a short tshuva in which he talks also about the sugya that we're about to look at. So I thought maybe also, again, in the spirit of this theme, I'd look at that with you a little bit. So if you have Gemaras with you, the last lines in the sixth parak, after talking about all of these requirements of a worker and an employer and in both directions, so the Gemara tells the story of Rabba Bar Bar Hanan. These are the last five lines of the sixth parak, Pegim Omen Aleph and Bav Metzia. The Gersa on the side of the page is Rabba Bar Bar Hana. So the Gemara tells the story that Tavru Lei Hano Shikulai Chavisa Dechamra, that his workers broke a barrel of his wine. It caused him a great loss. So Shako Liglimayu, he took their clothes. He was had the ability to confiscate their property as collateral for the debt that they owed him now for breaking his stuff. So also Amr L'Rav. So they went and they complained to Rav. They brought their case. They brought their taina to... they brought their taina to Rav. So what did Rav say? Amalei, havel hugli mayu. So Rav said, give them back their stuff. In other words, these garments that you're confiscating in exchange for a debt that they have to you, you should give it back to them. So Amalei, he said to them, he said to Rav, dina hachi, that's the halacha. That's what I have to do. So Amalei in, he said, yes. And we'll see, there's a little bit of a Girsa question about that word, yes, over there. But he said, yes, that's the din, apparently, according to this Girsa. Why? Because of the Pasuk. Pasuk in Mishlei, Aman Teilech B'Derech Tovim, so that you should walk along the paths of good people. That's what's required. So Yaev Ligwimayus, okay, he gave them back their clothing. But they weren't satisfied with that. Amrule, they said, Aniye Anan, we are poor people, V'tarchidan Kul Yoma, and we work all day. And we don't have any food now. The kafina, the last line of the day. So you said that we've worked all day, and now you haven't paid us, and we don't have anything to take home. So Amalei, in that context, said, Rav, zil havigrayu. You have to pay them. You have to pay them for the day's work, even though what they ended up doing was breaking your stuff. So Amalei, dinachi, he said, is that really the obligation? So the Amalei in, v'orchol sadikim tishmor. Says, yes, that's the halacha, because the rest of this pasuk in Mishlei, v'orchol sadikim tishmor, you should follow the paths of the tzadikim. You should protect, you should guard the paths of the tzadikim. So what exactly is the implication of that sukkah? It's a very important gemara, very much appropriate that we kind of get up to it at this stage, both in terms of being towards the end of our limudin here, but also specifically the beginning of the 3 weeks, in light of what we said a few minutes ago. But so what is the nature of this din? Right? What the Gemara seems to be talking about here is the concept of Lufnim Shur Sadin. The Gemara doesn't evoke that clearly. The Gemara uses a reference to a different pasuk. The idea of Lufnim Shur Sadin is actually derived from at least two other psukim. Right? The Gemara also in Masechus Bava Metzia, in the second parak, the Gemara quotes from Yisro, that Yisro says to Moshe that it's not right the way you have things, that you're going to be in charge of everything and you're going to have to deal with all of the issues. Rather, better you should have a hierarchical court system, and that you should teach people the main important principles. And in that context, so Yisro says, "V'odayta l'hamasa derecha yelchuba v'yes hamaisa asher ya'asud." So you should teach them the path that they should walk on, and also the actions that they should do. So the Gemara says, both in Bava Metzia and in Bava Kama, the Gemara has a drasha, "Es hamaisa asher ya'asun," maisa, that's the action, "asher ya'asun," that refers to Lefnim Meshur Sadin. Which is an interesting question, what exactly is the nature of that derivation? I always thought that what it was a reference to is that the Maisa is the theoretical din, and that which actually gets done, that's Lefnim Meshur Sadin. That there's a concept of the Maisa, and that which actually happens, that's Lefnim Meshur Sadin. So some of the commentaries explain it to a different nature, that the word Ya'asun, with a nun at the end, is meant to change the way that it comes about, and that Yasun is like somebody who has, not only is he doing an action, but he's a person of that action. So it becomes more of an ingrained type of behavior. So the idea that somebody is going to just function the letter of the law, that's not ever going to become a part of his personality. But Asher Yasun, that he's going to be somebody who is really committed to these values. So in order to do that, you have to go Lufnim Meshur Sadin. And we have another major mucker from the Pasuk that we're going to read in a few weeks in Sefer Dvarim. According to the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Dvarim is a candidate for the phrase Sefer HaYashar. It's a Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokas. What's called Sefer HaYashar? Is it Bereshis because the Avos are called Yesharim, or maybe it's Dvarim because it includes the Pasuk V'yasisa HaYashar V'hatov? So perhaps that should be the theme of Sefer Dvarim. And the Ramban, we alluded to a little bit last night, the Ramban says that the idea of V'yasisa HaYashar V'hatov is that there is a perspective, that there is a picture that's being published, that's being painted, rather, by all the details in the Torah. So we have all the letters of the law, but it's possible for somebody to follow the letter of the law and still miss the big picture, and still not see what exactly is the goal that we're trying to accomplish. So we want to create people who are Yisharim and Tovim. So therefore we have all kinds of details that are designed to evoke such a personality. And if it comes out that you're following all the letters, but it's not Yashar and Tov, so then there's something missing. And in that context, the Ramban talks also about the Fdin Meshura Sedin. So this Gemara really provokes a question, the whole concept provokes a question, that if you have a notion of Lifnim Meshura Sadin, so if that's really the ideal, so why don't we just make that the din? And why don't we just make the halacha the Lifnim Meshura Sadin? And this question is even more forcefully there, considering the fact that the Ramah quotes from the Mordechai, that there are some Rishonim who maintained that we are kofa on Lifnim Meshura Sadin, that we basically enforce Lifnim Meshura Sadin. So if you enforce that, so then what's the difference between Din and Lifnim Meshura Sadin? It's essentially the same idea. So you could ask the question in the abstract, why should we have a Din if it's going to be different from the ideal? And especially if the ideal is going to be enforced, so then really what does the concept of Din mean? Versus Lifnim Meshura Sadin. Does anybody have any thoughts about that? Any suggestions how to understand how they relate to each other? And one possible way to look at it is that the Lifnim Meshura Sadin is a standard that we can't expect everyone to live up to. So maybe we have a baseline halacha, and then we have also, we're clued into the fact that there is a higher madrega to aspire to, and that anybody who really wants to be considered a good person, anybody who really wants to feel that he is functioning the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to, is going to strive for that level, even if that's not the baseline we impose as a minimal requirement on everyone. Such a possibility. I think there are a few other ways to look at it as well. I think it's important to emphasize and to understand that presumably it doesn't mean that Lifnim Meshura Sadin, or let's call it the spirit of the law, is always the opposite of whatever the law is. You know, that if you have Din Torah between Reuven and Shimon, so the halacha says Reuven wins, so Lifnim Meshura Sadin means Shimon wins. Now, Lifnim Meshura Sadin, Reuven should give in to Shimon. I don't think that really is a viable interpretation, to say that it's always the opposite of the halacha. So then you really have the question, why is the halacha kind of geared in the opposite direction of what it should be? So I don't think that's the case. Presumably, a lot of the time, hopefully a lot of the time, the spirit of the law, the letter of the law, will be the same thing. It's not going to necessarily point you in different directions. The question is, when you have circumstances where we seem to suspect that despite the fact that there's a letter of the law in one way, but there's a spirit of the law that tells you to either go beyond or to go maybe even in the opposite direction, so why is that not the din? So I think there you could also take two different approaches. And I also just want to share with you in a moment this Tosfos on Chavdalet Amid Beis, that is in the second parak, where Tosfos talks about trying to set down some principles in this. So we'll look at this together in a second. But just also, you could theoretically say that two different ways to look at it is that you could say, first of all, that maybe Lifnim Meshura Sadin factors in subjective considerations, while the din itself only focuses on objective halachas. So the din has to talk about Reuven versus Shimon as abstract entities. But Lifnim Meshura Sadin can factor in also other types of considerations that are not necessarily there in every such circumstance. So the halacha has to be written in an abstract way so that it could apply to everyone. But sometimes there'll be circumstances where if you're looking at this case by itself, if this were the only case ever in history, you could have guessed that maybe the halacha would have applied differently. To give you an example, so the second parak talks about the Shabbos Aveda, where you find a lot of such distinctions. You find a lot of areas where, even though there are many cases where you're allowed to keep somebody else's lost property, but it's made clear that there's a halacha Lifnim Meshura Sadin that you should give it back if you know who to give it back to. So then that prompts the question. So then why is that not the din? So why is that considered to be an extra legal obligation? So it could be that when you're dealing abstractly, so we have to set the rules somewhere. We have to draw the line somewhere. In general, you have a conflict between two parties in terms of lost property. And that somebody who finds something has the right to keep it. But if there's a previous owner who's losing out, so then the previous owner has the right to have it returned to them. So there's a conflict in rights. So we have to decide at what point is it not reasonable anymore to expect the finder to give it back to the person who lost it and say that the finder has the right to keep it. But let's say you'll have a circumstance where because we have to draw the line somewhere, so we draw the line in favor of the finder. But in this particular case, it's very clear that the property really was the property of this particular individual who lost it, who claims to have lost it. And this person is poor, and the person who found it is rich, and there's a sentimental value, whatever it is, there's all kinds of other factors at play. So then you could argue that if we were able to look at this case by itself, we would have said the benefit should go to the loser. So if that's a possible way to see things, so then lifnim mishur sadin would perhaps tilt in this person's favor, and particularly in this area of Ashavas Aveda, you do find the poskim all asserting that there's very often a large percentage of the case is going to be a chiyuv of nimishur sadin when it actually is possible to identify the person who did indeed lose it. Alternatively, it could be that the reason there's a difference between the nimishur sadin and din is because in some cases, so this area of halacha points in one direction. But there are other concerns of halacha, the concerns of rachmanas, of tzedakah, of midos, of other values which indicate a different approach. So then that's a more personal obligation on the individual. Perhaps that's a little bit what our Gemara was getting at. The Gemara was saying, it's perhaps a viable model for that Gemara that we just saw at the end of our parak, that the Gemara is saying, okay, strictly speaking, in terms of the laws of Nezikin, so if somebody damages the property of somebody else, he's got to pay. That's basically the story. But there are other considerations here. There's Rachmanis, and there's charity and tzedakah, and the fact that these workers are poor, and this person, the boss is rich, and it's not going to affect his life so much if he is mochel, and it's going to affect their lives very much if they go back starving. So therefore, basic Rachmanis is going to indicate a different way. So the pasuk he quotes over there, a different pasuk, that if you want to be a person who's good, you want to be a person who's a tzaddik, so then that's going to be incumbent upon you to act this way and to not recognize that as an actual halachic flaw. So just to take a quick look, there's an important Tosfos on the Masechta, also on the second parak, and Chavdalet and Mibbeis, Tosfos Tafnim Mishur Sadin, because the Gemara again invokes that concept and the concept of Ashavas Aveda frequently. So says the Gemara, Me'asher Yasu Nafkalan, L'kaman b'pirka, and that's derived from Asher Yasun, that was the quote from Yisrael later on in our parak. So, Tema de la Maisa Kra Hachik de Maisa L'kaman, Uv de Rishmal, Vagos L'kama, Uv de Rabchia, Vagodin al Shulchan of Yimsarah, so Gemara, yes, Tosfos asks, why is it that elsewhere we see here, with the Gemara we mentioned, Maisa Kra Hacharina is quoted another pasuk, L'man Telech B'derech Tovim, Shuma Divrei Kabbalah, that's a pasuk from Mishlei, that's not even from Chumash, it's a pasuk from the Nevi'im, from Nach rather, and it does Veshavik Ra, Da Asher Yasu, and Shuma Divrei Torah, and it leaves out the pasuk in Parshas Yisro, that is Midivrei Torah. So it says Tosos, Yeshlomer, Glomaisi Kra, Da Asher Yasu, Ela B'makom, Sha'acherin, Chayavin, Vehu Pater. That the idea of Asher Yasu, Yisro's comment, that's a case where other people are chayiv, where theoretically there's a chiyiv here. Happens to be you are potter. Right now there's some reason why you're exempt from an obligation that other people have. So that's a asher yasu, and you should also take upon that obligation on yourself. I'll skip a little bit. All right, so it applies that to a couple of examples. Right, so for example, in this case of Ashavas Aveda, where other people are chayiv, and you would be potter, says Tosin, Komakom, Mishur Lefdim, Mishur Sadin, Boy Leila Dure. So because of Lufnim Meshuras Adin, it's still proper to give it back. Kevin Shaina Maschaser Mamona, since this is not part of your original money anyway, you're not losing any money to do this, you might as well give it back to the person. Aval Basofa Umnim, so our Gemara that we just read in our parak, Bahanao Shukulai Shashavra La Chavis, Vyasul Hefsa Gadol, so there it's not somebody who's giving back lost property when he doesn't have to. The guy took a big loss, he took a big hit, he had his stuff broken. So Mishum of Nimashar Sadin ain't lo bahafsit. So Lufnimashar Sadin would not necessarily obligate him to lose money because of that, to say I'm not going to get paid for damages that happened to me. So Lakach Maisi Kroal Montel Puder Tovim. So instead, we're told that yeah, it's not a straight out Lufnimashar Sadin obligation, but it's an obligation if you want to be a good person, so you'll have Rahmanas on these poor workers, and that's this idea of a Montel Puder Tovim. So there is a tshuva halach lamaisa about this in the Sefer Mishnah's Poland. And maybe we'll just quickly look at it together. We have about 15 minutes till Mincha. So he asks, essentially, the case of this Gemara. He says, Poel shehifsid chefetz b'shas malachto. You have a worker who broke something while he was working. Imachuyev mavido l'mcholo v'lo linchos mischaro. Is there an obligation on his boss to forgive him? Right? In other words, we understand the guy really is chayiv to pay. The worker is really chayiv to pay. But is there, at the same time, a chiyuv on the boss to be mochel that, and not to dock his pay, not to subtract it from his work, his salary? Oh, I feel the shalim was charav odaso min hadin, and even to maybe pay him what his salary is, not just not to take from the guy, but also to pay him for his work, maker adin. So, or min hadin, he says. So, starts off the Gemara of Metzia that we just read of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. So, Rashi writes that b'derech tovim, what does that mean? Lufnim Meshur Sadin, that's Rashi's language. So, the Rambam and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch don't bring this lahalacha, which is a good question how much that means. You know, what exactly would it mean to bring this lahalacha? It's a subjective case. You know, maybe it is lahalacha depending on the circumstances. But in any event, they don't bring it la'alacha. But he says that Rebbeinu Hagon Chassid Maran Shner Zalman Miliadi. In other words, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch Harav does is kava din zel la'alacha v'zel l'shono. He does establish this as halacha. And here's what he writes. He says Hamaver Chavis Mimakom Umakom Beschar. If somebody is moving a barrel from one place to another and is getting paid, v'nishpura b'pshiaso. And it breaks because he was negligent. It was something he's chayiv for. It broke because he was clumsy, and because he was negligent, rather. Kigon sharatz yosem midai. He was running too fast, maybe. O shahalach b'makom ruah v'nitkal, or he walked in a place that was dangerous, and he wasn't careful about that. And it broke. V'chol kiyotze b'zeh. B'inyan shechayiv l'shalom min adin, even if it's a case where you should have to pay min adin, mitzvah balabayis l'hachnas imay l'fnim m'shiris adin. It's a mitzvah on the boss to deal with him in a l'fnim m'shiris adin fashion, v'limcholo, and to forgive him. Sh'namar l'montelech b'derech toivim, that we say, so that you should follow in the paths of the good, v'yim anihu, and if the person, if the worker is poor, he doesn't have what he's going to eat now because he's not getting paid. So mitzvah litein lo schar shenamar v'yorcha sadikim tishmor. Then you should also pay him because of this idea of v'yorcha sadikim tishmor. Zohi yorach sadikim. This is the path of sadikim. Mishmor derech Hashem la'isestok ha'mishpat lefnim mishur zadin. V'nei begirsas ha'gemara. So in the Argemara, as we mentioned before, so Rabbi Babarachani asks Rav, Dina Hachi, what you're telling me? You're telling me the law, the Iker Hadin, that's what I have to do, that's the letter of the law. And our Girsa is, he said to him, in L'mantelech B'derech Tovim. Yes, that's the law, because of L'mantelech B'derech Tovim. So Mila in, Mar Mafurish, Kirav Poshik, Mitzat Hadin. So it sounds like Rav is saying, this is what he thinks the real law is, that he's got to do this. V'chein Girsos HaRash, Aval HaAlfas, the Rif, V'nimuki Yosef, Hishmitu Milas in, B'tshuvas Rav. They took out the word in. And he just says the Montelech, and he says, yeah, do the right thing, but he doesn't say that it's the din. The Alphas Medayik Shama figures also, Shabbat Rav Chaser Hamila in, Shirav Hodla, Babrachana Shadina Lav Hachi. that, in other words, Rav is basically acknowledging to Rabbi Baruch Hanna that it's not really the law. But he commands them to act in a way that's lefnim mishur sadim. So we see that the gersa that we have with the word in is that he's holding that it's meyikar adin, that there was such an obligation. So this is not the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who writes that he has to act lefnim mishur sadim, he has to act above and beyond. The Nirali says the author of the Mishnah's poem, Shechein das agon baal shel teshuvas chavis yara. Now he quotes here from the teshuvas chavis yara of Yara Bachrach about 300 years ago, who has a case where somebody had a rich man had a din Torah with his maid, that he warned her many times that she shouldn't let the flame of the fire in the oven get too big during the winter, and she should be very careful with the wood that's on top of the oven to take it off, and she didn't pay so much attention, and a flame came out of the oven and burnt some of his property, and he ordered the maid that she should pay for the damages that were caused by her negligence, because her defense was only that she forgot to take off the wood. And the Gemara says, and Baba Kama, the Mishnah says, Adam mu'a la'olam, a person is always considered to be in the category of maximal obligation if a person does damage, even if it's unintentional. So that's what he wanted to do. So says the Chavaz Yar, all the people who heard this were quite astonished at this guy who's insisting on such a thing, that he dealt with this legally with the Shifcha who was poor. And the judge himself asked this question, and the guy responded that he really only wanted to scare her for the future. She should be careful not to cause damage in the future. So it sounds like here also that the Chavos Yar holds a Mikra Adin, she did have to pay, which is like the Girsa of the Rif and the Muki Yosef, who don't have the word in. So he says here, the Mishnah's poll, in vain lechalik shekani islam mishar eses is zero, ubuvdo shel Rabbi Baruch Hanna lo is zero. There's no distinction, he thinks, in the fact that the maid was warned and the workers of Rabbi Baruch Hanna were not warned. Ki harei gam sham adam ul olam, the idea of adam ul olam is always true. Ela hava omer rak mitzal af mishar sedin, tzar chamay vila sham lo ivin mitzal v'asisa yashar v'atov. It's because of the mishar sedin, v'asisa yashar v'atov, that you have to pay. So then he goes on to add, "V'amnam la'achar ayun." After investigation on this topic, "Niruli l'chadesh." It seems to me that we could innovate the following point: "Shebechugei chachmei haTorah," that among those who are wise of Torah, "din l'fnim mishur sadin chayzer l'din mamish." The idea of acting l'fnim mishur sadin goes back to be the actual din. Zoso meres, that is to say, shasachiv hamusari shalafdim mishur sadin ro kemitzvah satorah, that the chachmei haTorah saw this musar, ethical value of acting lefdim mishur sadin as one of the mitzvah satorah. And he quotes the Sefer Gedulei Truma, who writes, "Mashma shasos lefdim mishur sadin eitzel tzadikim atayvim hu darkam v'yorcham kedavar nahog," that by people who are righteous to act this way, that is their path and that is the way they do things. That's the idea that's of Nimashur Sadin, that's by the average person. But people who are righteous and good, this becomes their basic obligation. Rabbeinu HaRashaz Miliadi and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Shekava, I got this Rabbi Baruch Hanna Lahalach, who set this story, this, I got it really, of Rabbi Baruch Hanna as Halach in his Shulchan Aruch. So it seems to be that he goes L'shita, so he's following his opinion. Dugma Shekasa B'sifra L'kutei Amarim, what he wrote in his other Sefer, L'kutei Amarim. And he quotes here, "Below Amru Chayecha Kodmim," and the idea that your life takes precedence, the famous Gemara also later on, earlier on in Bava Metzia, which talks about the two people who were traveling with one jug of water between them, and that the person who has the water is allowed to keep it, according to Rabbi Akiva. So that Gemara, "Lo Amru Chayecha Kodmim, Ela Kishviyad Echad Kitan Shomayim," that you have one person who has the jug of water, and who davar hashava l'shnei b'shava, that both of them have the same need here.
They both have an equal need to drink water, lishtos, l'hashiv nashim b'tzama, and to restore their soul that they shouldn't die of thirst. Avalim ha'ani, tzarech lechem, l'fi hatafa, ve'etzim, v'ksus, v'kara. If you have a poor person who needs bread for his children, and wood and clothing for the cold, ki agavna, kol dvarim eilu kodim l'chom albushe kavod v'zavech mishbacha. So this takes higher priority than all of the luxuries of a rich person. So the logic of chayecha kodmim does not apply in such a case. Because it's not like the case of the absolute necessities of the ani, and it's not equal to his kinds of needs. And that's actually the letter of the law, he said. If you have a case where this is not so much the issue, a person should not be so medactic and to insist on the din. A person should try very hard to push himself to go with nim mishur sadin. Emer me'ata, we see from here, gam kan, kevan sha'asavalam tanu aniye anan. Since the workers and our Gemara said that we're poor people, tarachnu kol hayom, we worked all day on Ra'avim Lapas Lachem, we're very hungry. Ve'im bi'adenu mumma, we don't have anything. Chayvu rav lahachse b'gdayim l'shalmam, he had to pay them, quote, ki roi l'chal adam sh'ladaktik Muhammad al-adin, because it's not right for a person to insist on the letter of the law under circumstances like that. So that's the thrust of his tshuva to this. He has one extra paragraph here where he just adds a point. He says, in the tshuva b'sam rosh, which is of questionable authorship, that's a whole story, won't get into right now. It says, Reuven shashach shliach b'schar, Reuven sent a messenger and he paid him, l'holich l'makom ploni chavi o'shem en o'ksefa, that he should take these bottles of oil on his shoulders, v'zarka chavi o'shem o'ksefa v'ratz al nafsho, and he threw them on the floor and he ran for his life. Pata l'shalim v'ad chavi o'sh, that he doesn't have to pay, da'afsha sholim boy maliske mamon, that even though the people who held up his who held him up and he was robbed, the part is not part of the quote here, that's apparently what was going on, so from Gama, even though they ostensibly were just there to steal money, so from Gamiske nefashos, you could assume that they were there for they would have put his life at risk also. And he's carrying these barrels on his shoulders, he can't run very fast. And the barrels were like they were chasing him, and therefore he is pater. So this is actually part of a different topic of halacha, of somebody who saves his life at somebody else's expense, using somebody else's property. The notes over there, that one agrees to this din, should be seen. Okay, the whole chakir about matzal mamon chaver. But that's a side point, but it's relevant to his larger issue of just how much do you put the burden, here in this case, both the literal and the economic burden, on the worker to worry about the assets of the balabas, and to what extent do you recognize the lifnim mishur sadin considerations. So in any event, again, just to emphasize, this Gemara is time to go to Mincha, but this Gemara is very important as the theme for why we're in Galus, with the Gemara's idea that too much of a diktik on Din Torah causes us to remain in the exile. But also, it's going to be very much an introduction to our remaining sugyas, where some of the more modern innovations in terms of workers' rights and the question of to what extent, even if they're not recognized in the Gemara itself, do we assume that that imposes a burden of Din Mishur Sadin on the employer, if not more than that, or is there also the factor, this is a perfect segue between the end of this parak and the next parak, where the next parak talks about Hakol Kaminig HaMedina, so those two factors, Minig and Lifnim Mishur Sadin, to what extent do they create a recognition of a new reality, like we spoke about a little bit last night about unions and strikes, and like we'll talk a little bit in the coming 2 days about severance pay and downsizing and the like, and how they tie into each other. Okay, everyone should have an easy hour or so left to the fast. Hopefully, the